Night to the book of Job. This time, let's look at Job chapter 2. The last verse in Job 2, verse 13. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Satan believed that if God would allow him to take away Job's blessings from him, that Job would curse God. The devil believed that if you remove the blessings of God from Job, that Job would turn away from God, and the devil told God such. But the Lord didn't think so. The Lord knew Job. And the Lord said, no, regardless of what you do to Job, God believed that Job would stay faithful. So the devil said, well, remove the hedge around him and we'll find out. Because I believe if you take away what you give him, he'll turn on you. Now, brethren, listen to me. This whole scenario ought to cause all of us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves some important questions. If the blessings of God were taken away from me, would I still love God? If I lost everything, would I still serve him? If my life were to be wrecked physically and emotionally and family-wise, if it were to be turned upside down, ask yourself, would you even still come to church? This whole thing ought to cause each of us to look in the mirror and ask some real sobering questions. Now, Satan gets a hold of Job's wife. And when it was all taken away, Job's wife threw in the towel. Job's wife said, we're done with God. We are finished here. We're done. And I want to tell you tonight that the philosophy of Job's wife is the philosophy of many in the world tonight. Her philosophy is that when life stops being good, then God stops being good. And the philosophy of Job's wife is the philosophy even of many who sit in the church building whose philosophy is, if my nice life gets messed with, I'm going to walk away from God. And Job's wife's philosophy is the philosophy of many. Their loyalty to God is a very fickle thing. As long as my husband and I were being blessed, as long as God was giving to us, as long as God was doing for us, as long as I had a nice little life, everything was okay and I love God. But when trials come and when all of it was taken away from me, me and my husband both, we need to curse God and just die from this mess. A lot of folk in the church have a fickle loyalty to God. Our verse tonight, Job 2 verse 13, is about Job's three friends. That verse tells us two things that are very good about his friends. They tell us that his friends came to him. They didn't send him a note, they came. They showed up. The fact that they came to Job during this time in Job's life tells us that they were concerned about their friend Job. The fact that they showed up tells us that they loved him, that they really wanted to know how he was. They showed up. The second thing that verse tells us is that they sit there with him for 7 days in silence. The hardest thing in the world for some people is just be silent. Just be silent. But this afternoon, very, very quickly, what I want to focus on is two things that his friends never did. They're simple things. They're basic things. But in the whole book of Job, they never did it. They never did it. The first thing that Job's three friends never did, they never prayed with him. It's not in there. They didn't do it. Are you listening? These three men talked a lot about God, but never talked to God. These three friends spoke to Job for 30 chapters. They're going back and forth. These three friends spoke to Job a lot about God, but they never spoke to God about Job. They never prayed with the man. Job gives 9 speeches. Each of them give 3 speeches. It's 30 chapters. Everybody's talking, and not once does one of them say, "Well, Job, let's just pray together here." That's remarkable. They never prayed with the man. Brethren, we ought to pray first. We ought to pray first. We can talk about it later, but let's get God in it first. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer. Prayer. Pray without ceasing. Listen, they never prayed with him. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a time in your life, and it may have already come, and if you live long enough, it will come back up on your porch and knock on door again. There will come times in your life when you are not going to understand why what is happening to you is happening to you. But even if we don't understand, we can pray. There will be times when the devil will turn you upside down, inside out, and every way but loose, and you won't know if you are on foot or horseback, but you still pray. If you don't know what to pray for, you can pray about that. You've never prayed that? Lord, I don't even know where to start this. Listen, if you don't know what to pray for, you can always pray for help. You can always pray for comfort. You can always pray for better days. Lord, I don't understand all this, but I understand this. This is a mess. I want better days here. They never prayed with him. That's incredible to me. They never prayed with him. The second thing that they never did, they never really listened to him. They didn't listen to him. He's lost everything. And he's crying out. He wants understanding. He wants to know. He wants some solutions. He wants some answers. And they blow all of it off. They argue with him. They never listened. They didn't listen. The man is dying. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, he is dying, and they're arguing with him. Brethren, listen. When people's lives are devastated, what they need is somebody to listen. They don't need somebody with a judgmental attitude coming at them. Before the mess happens, jump up and down and have a fit. But even if they cause the mess, it's too late to have a fit. Then the eggs are broke. Now you got to try to help them. They didn't listen to him. They argue with him. They accused him. The man is dying, and they're arguing with him. What help is that? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. He said, there is a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. there's a time to be silent. And some people never know when that time is. When people's lives are devastated, stop saying useless things to them. I'm going to share this with you. I've done funerals for over 40 years. Things that I have heard standing at the head of a casket. Body isn't in the ground. The body is right here. People who weren't part of the family of the deceased walk up to a widow or a widower who has just lost their soulmate. I have stood there, and I have heard with my own ears people who are not part of the family who will walk up. I have heard them say, "Well, did you have insurance? Really? Really? You think that ought to be asked now? And it's none of your business." I'm not kidding. I have stood there and I've heard people say, "Will you still be able to afford to stay in the house?" There's a time to be silent. I'm not kidding. You think I ain't heard people say some things? 2x. Now, I know who it was. When I go completely crazy, ask me and I'll tell you. But until then, I'm not going to tell you. I've heard this 2x. I've heard this 2x. Well, that looks like an expensive casket. How much was that? I'm serious. I heard somebody tell a widower who had been married for over 50 years, who lost a soulmate, that to him must have been like absolutely cutting his heart out. And the man is standing at the head of his wife crying, and some lame-headed Christian walked up and said, "Why are you crying?" They were a Christian. Really? We don't listen to people. We don't listen to them. We don't. There's a time to speak, and there is a time to be silent. Say what you want to about this, but I'm telling you this. When Job's friends started talking, things got worse on Job. Sometimes the greatest comfort you can give to somebody is just be silent. Just be silent. You know, if you must open your mouth, say, "I'm sorry." If you must open your mouth, say, "I'm praying for you." Then remove yourself from by the casket. Right? it's incredible that they never prayed for him. And it's incredible that they never even listened to the guy. When people are dying, what they want is somebody to listen to them, not talk to them. Just listen. Just listen. His friends showed up. That's good. And they had enough sense to be quiet for a while. But they never prayed. They talked to him for 30 chapters, never prayed for him. And the man's pouring his heart out, and they never listened. They completely blowed over it and just accused him. We can learn some stuff from Job. We learn some stuff from Job. If you're here tonight, if you need to respond, you can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.